But here we are, and we are grateful. We're a grateful people. We're a humble people before you, Lord, because we know that you are sovereign. We know that you are creator, sustainer, redeemer of our souls. We know this of you, about you, and we worship you, Lord, and you alone. We praise your name. We ask you, dear Jesus, as the creator of the church universal, that you would take your place as the pastor and the teacher of this church local and help us to understand in prayer, in song, in word, more about you. We may grow more deeply in our relationship with you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I am going to read a bunch of psalms today, but I thought that before I read a bunch of psalms, I would tell you a little bit about them. A little bit about the psalm book. There are 150 psalms in the psalm book, often called the song book of the Bible, or the hymn book of the Bible, or even the prayer book of the Bible. They've been divided at, when the psalm book was put together by Ezra, around 450 BC, he was gathering psalms from several different authors over the course of about 1,000 years. He put them together in the what we know as the psalm book. He created 5 books of the psalm book. And as near as we can tell, there is no rhyme or reason as to how he divided them. Probably he created 5 different books to mirror or reflect the 5 books of the Torah. But we don't really know. Now, as time progressed, scholars and so forth picked apart the psalms, and, nice biblical number, they came up with 7 different types of psalms. And these are the things that, you know, when we talk about where we are in the psalm book and all of that stuff. So I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget any of them. Psalms of praise, self-explanatory. Psalms of lament, those are the, you know, it kind of hurts to be me right now. You know, where are you, God, type of psalms. Psalms of testimony, imprecatory psalms, where you are praying ill over your enemies, which, you know, is there, of course. Wisdom psalms, psalms of the Messiah, and psalms for special occasions. Now, this is where we're going to go today. We talk about psalms of special occasions. There were 7 different holy days in the Jewish calendar, 3 of which you were called upon, if you were 20 years or older, I believe, to make your way to Jerusalem. The festival of Pentecost, the festival of Tabernacle, and Passover. And now, these are the psalms that we're talking about for these special occasions. And what we're talking about today are the psalms of ascent, for the special occasions. Why are they called psalms of ascent? Because Jerusalem is on a big hill. And so you enter in, and the temple is up there, and the city kind of goes up there like a big hill. And as you enter in your festive way, I guess, to prepare your heart, to think about God, to focus yourself on who he is and why you are there, you would, these psalms became the songs that people would sing as they entered Jerusalem and made their way to the center for the holy day. All right? So, they were written by a couple of different people. David wrote a couple of them, and I believe the sons of Korah wrote a couple of them, and the children of Asaph, David's worship leader, wrote a couple of them. There's 15 of them, from 120 to 134 in the psalm book. So there you go. There's your overview of the psalms and your overview of what we're going to do today. So today, you're going to hear everything from how much the folks are in need of coming to the temple, you know, the grind of life, and oh Lord, please help me. So you're going to hear a lot of stone imagery, right? You're going to hear a lot of walking imagery. You're going to hear all of those things, and of course praise, because for the reason why they are there. And again, Three times a year, you would come. And this is something that's not new, right? You go on vacation, you sing songs. Probably some of you as adults can sing, can remember some of the songs you sang as a family when you traveled to and fro, you know? I'm not going to even try to do any examples because 99 bottles of beer came to mind right away, but I just said that out loud. But that is actually it is how it works. You would know them, you would sing them, special occasion, special purpose. So I'm not going to preach through them, we're going to enjoy them, but I wanted you to know what they are. Now, one of them is very special to me. Psalm 121 was my mother's favorite song. And that was a song that she knew by heart and she would share with me. And then that was the song, we got all the way through her funeral, and then I was going to do Psalm 121. And I was just, I couldn't choke it out. So Psalm 121, and I didn't know anything about the Psalms then, has a very special place in my heart. And I know that many of you have Psalms that have very special places in your heart. So, you know what you're looking for now, what you're going to hear, and we are going to ascend with our brethren because it was just Passover, and so I figured, why not? It is Passover still, right? Yeah. So, there we go. Psalm 121. I'm reading them from the New Living Translation. I read over them all. I think the New Living Translation does a very good job with all the psalms that I'm going to read today. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? I told you I wasn't going to preach. I'm not, but there's the first imagery. So that's what they're looking for. I look up to the mountains. We're moving up. We're moving up to the temple of the Lord. Right? So those are the types of things that you're listening for and the type of imagery that is portrayed in these particular psalms of ascent. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. You can see why a mother would want to pray that over their son. Right? Pretty. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And now we're here, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a well-built city. Its seamless walls cannot be breached. All the tribes of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage here. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as the law requires of Israel. Here stand the thrones where judgment is given, the thrones of the dynasty of David. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. Psalm 123. Again, we're looking up, right? Because we're going up a mountain. I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy, just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy, for we have had our fill of contempt. We have had more than our fill of the scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. Psalm 124. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord, who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken. We are free. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We hear these recurring themes. And another thing that you'll notice is that the Psalms are of short length, so they can be easily learned and easily repeatable. So they are songs of ascent. That and power in the blood, right, Kenzie? Power in the blood. I know, right? She runs around the house singing, power in the blood. I'm like, yeah! It's great. It's fun. She's six and she's singing power in the blood. It's a great song. Oh, but wait, I'm sorry. We're not supposed to talk about blood and crosses and things like that in the church. Scare the people away. Love guys. Not! I'm in a good mood today. I really am in a good mood today. It was an okay week, but today is great. Psalm 130. Here's what I was talking about, right? Not everything is sunshine and roses, but they're heading toward the truth. They're heading toward the temple of the Lord. From the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear me cry, O Lord. Pay attention to my prayer. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? Amen. But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than centuries long for the dawn. Israel, hope is in the Lord. For with the Lord there is unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem Israel from every kind of sin. That's power. That's power right there. Psalm 133. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. Remember, people are coming from all over Israel, right? If you remember the day of Pentecost, New Testament, right? That's what was happening. And that's why you heard people speaking miraculously in all of the languages of all the people that were there, not only Israel, but those from around the world. So how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. So when we talk about the Psalms and we read them individually, of course we can divide them into the seven categories, but there is great overlap in all of them. Do you not hear the old redemption story in those Psalms? Right? And you hear the redeeming, the salvific work of God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son in these Psalms. And these folks, no idea about any of those sorts of things, but they are going to praise the Lord in the correct and appropriate way. Not just for the sake of doing it, but with a broken and contrite heart, as Scripture says. And they know that they have put a lot of dust behind them. They've had a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. It's been a while since the last holy day. And Lord, I'm coming to your temple and I want to feel you and I want to experience this. And I want to experience it not just for me. And this is one thing sometimes the New Testament church, we forget about. I talked a little bit about it last week. Olivia's favorite saying, it's not an individual sport, it's a team sport. There's a reason why we gather together. I am glad that you have an individual relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Your salvation comes through faith alone. There is no doubt about that. And you are filled by God's Holy Spirit. But there is also a reason why Scripture says, and those who do that earn the right to be called brother, children of God. And we become brothers and sisters of the Most High. And we gather together. And this psalm, way back, thousands of years ago, is talking about how important it is to gather together and experience the presence of the Lord. That's what these pilgrims are seeking as they head to the temple. And it's what we seek communally as we gather as the church. And the more things change, the more they stay the same, how precious is the unity of these brothers and sisters. Because we're human beings, and we get on each other's nerve, and we don't like what somebody says sometimes, and we don't, what all those different things are still in play. We know that. And how precious it is when each of us realize that we are a part of something that is so much bigger than ourselves and so much bigger than any petty complaints that we might have. There are significant complaints. Your preacher is preaching heresy. Things are, there's wickedness in the church that's manifesting, and what those are issues that need to be addressed. Not the fact that somebody sat in a pew or something like that. And I'm not guilty to say it. There are those that are worthy of being addressed, and those that are not. You realize that you are something bigger. You are the temple of the Lord, and we come together. We're coming together now for a time of communal and corporate prayer. I wanted to just mention a few things. And I think we have a story that we just cannot not tell. So we're going to tell that story. But again, for the sake of everything flowing, let me pray over you today for the most part. But I heard something.